Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. In the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things.
I humbly ask this in the name of the one who changed my life, Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father.
O God of our many understandings, we pray that you will bless us with tears, with anger. Bless us with discomfort.
Let us take that power back to our homes, our churches, our temples, our mosques, wherever we seek your will.
You know, it's probably an easier case to make nowadays that there is such a thing as objective evil. Not everyone's going to buy into that notion, but after 9/11, after years of fighting terrorism, after watching things like genocide in Darfur, after watching persecution of people in the largest democracy in the world, India, and then what happens in the still largest communist country on the planet, China, people look at that, people with sober minds and honest dispositions, and they say there is such a thing as evil, although we are very judicious in using that adjective. Or is it a noun? We're going to be talking about the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, our pastor's roundtable, live this Thursday. It's the 22nd of January. Deliver us from evil is this petition. It is the sum of all, says Martin Luther, the sum of all the things that we ask for. So what is evil? What is the aim of evil? And how is being delivered from evil, in fact, the same thing as praying for thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little later in the program, after our pastor's roundtable, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. We have two issues to discuss with her: the 36th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision, and President Barack Obama and the Freedom of Choice Act. She'll be with us for the first 10 minutes of the second hour, and then we'll round off today's program, beginning a two-part daily series on the Lord's Supper with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. Very interesting stuff ahead. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, coming to you live this Thursday, the 22nd of January, 1-877-623-MYIE, or TalkBack at issuesetc.org. Joining us for our pastor's roundtable, from Risen Christ Lutheran Church in Palm Bay, Florida, Pastor Gary Held. Gary, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yes, great to be on. It's Risen Savior, but yes, you're correct. It's in Palm Bay, Florida.
I will correct the notes. Thank you very much. Pastor Bruce Kaysman is here in the studio. He's a regular. He's pastor of Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's great to be back.
And Pastor David Boyce Clare is with us from Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis. Welcome back to you as well.
It's great to be here.
Pastor Held, first question for you. Does it really make any difference which version of this petition we pray, deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one?
Oh, I don't know that it makes a difference when you're considering that you're praying the seventh petition in light of the petitions that have already come. I think it's worthwhile. I certainly think it's worthwhile to, in your own mind, realize that putting in the word one, the evil one, might change the nuance of the prayer, because then we bring in the whole question of, you know, what is it that the evil one is trying to do in our lives, and how do we look to God, since we don't have the strength in and of ourselves to battle against him. We look to him and God and his Holy Spirit, really, to deliver us from the evil one, who is always trying to look for ways to trip us up and destroy us.
Go ahead.
And if our Lord delivers us from evil, he's delivering us from the evil one. If he delivers us from the evil one, he's delivering us from evil. So both are quite appropriate.
We use the word as both a noun and an adjective. Evil is an adjective, evil empire, evil men, and also, right, up to this point, a noun that is evil or the evil one. What is the picture, Pastor Boyce Clair, that Scripture paints for us of evil and its forces?
As something which is opposed to God's kingdom, as what the Lord Jesus Christ, by his vicarious atonement, has freed us from. And I'd like to tie into what Pastor Held said about what came before. In the original text, it has the strong adversative Allah in Greek. Of course, it's the word but sure, deliver us from evil, which in a sense helps us better understand the sixth petition before it, which is somewhat ambiguous at times or taken ambiguously, and lead us not into temptation. In other words, as you lead us, Lord, deliver us from evil. And evil, of course, is whatever is opposed to God and wants to bring people to hell. I guess you could probably be very clear about that.
Pastor Kinsman, is this why when Luther is commenting on this particular part of the Lord's Prayer, he says it's the sum of everything we've prayed up to this point in this great prayer?
Absolutely. Because if our Lord causes us to hallow his name, then he's delivering us from evil. If he causes his kingdom to come to us, he's delivering us from evil. If he causes his will to be done among us, he's delivering us from evil. If he gives us our daily bread, that's delivering us from evil. Forgiving our trespasses, that's delivering us from evil. And as Pastor Boyce Clair just said, it's whenever he keeps temptation from overcoming us, that also is delivering us from evil.
Pastor Wilkin.
Yeah.
It occurs to me that, you know, the evil one, more than anything else, would rob us of our faith. And all of the things that we're hearing about, you know, the kingdom coming among us, that our hearts, not because we've become such great examples of shining faith, but because he's planted that faith in us, we do want to hallow his name. That's what the devil's trying to tear down in us. And so, again, you know, it's the evil one wants to turn us away from God's grace and really turn us away from all the promises that he's shown us and shown himself faithful to.
So Satan is constantly attacking us, bringing evil into this world and therefore into our lives, and he's using every one of those evil events that we experience to try to chip away at our faith and turn us away from our Heavenly Father, to whom we're invited to pray because we're his baptized children.
We also use the term, and this is probably an older use of the word evil than we are accustomed to, and that is evil in the sense of just bad stuff, not necessarily morally evil, which is kind of the direction we've gone here, but evil in the sense of evil days. The days are evil, and maybe my house gets knocked over by a tornado. I would consider that the work of evil. Pastor Boyce Clair, is there a nuance here we need to recognize, and is it included in Christ's prayer here?
Yes, there is, and I would say that at times the devil could use things that are considered to be good in order to tempt us away from the Lord, and in a sense, the good things that are used as evil. But I think you have to make the nuances there between what we could call calamities, and as opposed to something that is moral evil or wicked. Hebrew, of course, has two interesting words. There's ra and rasha, which ra is all of the any kind of bad things that happen. And maybe we could use the word bad to help us in that nuance. But then rasha, of course, is all that is whatever it is evil in that sense. God is not a creator of rasha, but he is certainly, it says, he creates both good and ra.
Woe and weal, I think, is is the term that's used in the book of the old way of reading the book of Job. Pastor Held, I'm evil. I mean, that's part of my problem. Evil isn't an external thing like dirt that someone throws on me and it sticks.
Right.
how does this petition apply to the fact that I am, according to my sinful nature, evil?
Well, I think it applies in that you, ultimately, you need to be given that deliverance. You know, that's what we're praying for. Deliver us from evil, and you're anticipating, I think, where Luther really goes. He says, you know, the ultimate deliverance from evil is when we die a blessed death. We die in the faith. And then, in a way, we are delivered from those things in us that belong purely to the old nature. They're not part of our new nature. They are the things that adhere to our soul. Even though we're new creations in Christ, we still carry this old Adam with us. And I teach my congregation this all the time, is that I know that many of the newer translations always prefer to talk about the sinful nature, say, when you're reading in Romans. But, you know, the old King James translated that flesh, and there's an insight there. A lot of this, it's not that the body is bad, but when I lay down this flesh, there's an awful lot of this fallenness that I'm going to lay down, never to have to pick it up again. That, you know, in Christ, there is this deliverance from what you just said. You know, what about what I am inside? I'm not always living purely by faith as a totally sanctified child of God, you know, any more than any one of us is.
Let's take a break. When we come back, what kind of questions or comments do you have on the Lord's Prayer's petition, Deliver Us from Evil? 1-877-623-6943. It's Thursday, January the 22nd. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Gary Held is with us. Pastor Bruce Kaseman and Pastor David Boyce Clare, our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday. We've talked a little bit about evil. When we come back, what is good? We cannot talk about evil apart from good. It's a good question. We'll get to it right after this.
Try to run away. Maybe I'm afraid of being free. Because when I'm not chasing demons, there's demons chasing me.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Rebecca Senholtz, David Rowe, Don Fisher, Beverly Veal, Pastor Lauren Cooper, Dr. Paul Grimm, Alan Mueller, Jason Fick, Pastor Timothy Hammonds, and Dale Hewer. Thanks for your support.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Our Pastor's Roundtable is talking about the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, Deliver Us From Evil. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Kathy is listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah. Hi. You know, I pray the Lord's Prayer, and when I pray Deliver Us From Evil, sometimes I'm kind of confused by that. I know the way I define evil is different than the way God defines it, because I sometimes will define it with the struggles and difficulties that I have in my life I want to be delivered from, and he might help me in them, but he doesn't deliver me out of them. And so can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Pastor Kaseman.
That is a great point, because sometimes our Lord delivers us from evil by letting us suffer some evil. And now, what do I mean by that? The ultimate evil would be to die without faith. And sometimes our Lord lets us go through the difficulties of life so that we learn to trust him, to lean on him, to know that he's the one who is caring for us. And so he uses evil, or what appears to us to be evil, to strengthen our faith. In fact, I would go so far as to say it's not only looks to us to be evil, it is evil, but God is so good that he can use evil for his own purposes. And isn't that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians when he prays for the thorn in the flesh to be taken away, and the Lord says, my power is made perfect in weakness.
The phrase from Joseph's final blessings to his final encounter with his brothers, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. I want to pick up on what you just talked about there, Pastor Kaseman, that God's goodness, in some sense, redirects evil towards his good purposes. Is that it in each and every case, Pastor Boyce Clare? Can the Christian trust that there is no evil that can overcome us, so that God cannot work good from it?
Right. God sets a limit to the evil, and he also uses it to our good. In accord with Romans 8, all things work together for good to those who love God. And also in 2 Corinthians, where he says that nothing that has overcome you than what is common to man. I'm not exactly sure of the word there, but with every trial, I think it's a temptation, no temptation has encountered someone than what is common, but that with the temptation, God will give a way of escape that we are able to bear it. So I like the prayer where, God, if it isn't your will that you remove this from me, that at least you strengthen me to the point where I can bear it until it shall please you to remove it from me.
Pastor Held, what is good? If we talk about evil, we got to talk about good.
Mm-hmm. Good is that which God wants to bring into my life. I mean, and there is a way in which I heard your previous discussion talking about, you know, that which appears to us as evil. You know, it is a lot of, I love the verse that says that we walk by faith and not by sight. There's an awful lot of times in my life when I want to use my sight, that is, I use that term really broadly, my observation, my reason, my logic, to evaluate where I'm judging what's good and when I'm feeling, you know, what is best. And God, a lot of times, says, no, you can't trust that. You've got to walk by faith, which means trusting that since I am your Heavenly Father, since I'm your Father because you belong to Christ, then you know that the things that I'm going to bring into your life really are for your good. And so often, you know, when we hear about the people, we think about praying the Lord's Prayer and deliver us from evil, and this is what we've been just saying, is that people confuse suffering and evil as though you could use the two synonymously, and they're really not. I mean, the suffering we experience sometimes, we'll have to trust God that when he says he's bringing it into our life for good, that's also good. That's what faith says.
And if we're standing at the foot of the cross, we say, oh, man, that's the most evil thing that could ever happen.
Yeah.
And here is God using this thing that was meant for evil as,
right,
for good.
I was just thinking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, in essence praying this petition in different words, let this cup pass from me or pass me by. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then he goes resolutely,
knowing in advance, of course, the answer to his prayer to the cross. And there seems to be an irony there, Pastor Boyce Clare, that the very one who is, in essence, good, goodness incarnate, God incarnate, Jesus, is willing to take the full brunt of evil in its undiluted form and unlimited form. God holds nothing back. He takes away all of the restrictions on evil and lets them go full bore at his son, Jesus Christ, at the cross.
And the Bible is very explicit where it says, it made him that knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, and that he is the one that bore the curse of God's law and the payment for evil, in a sense, you know, what evil deserves. One interesting thing about evil, too, is that those who like to live in evil— I remember in one particular case it spoke about evil is just as simple and as innocent somewhat as good is, and evil, of course, can deceive us, and that we think that, and that the way of the world and the way of the devil is to tell us that evil is good, and to make that substitution and that counterfeiting of good.
Okay, that's exactly what I was thinking. The very next step, as you talk about good and evil, we go immediately to the first chapters of the Bible, where good and evil are in play, it seems, that God plants this tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, says, do not eat from it, the day you eat from it, you will die. Desiring to have this knowledge and to be like God, they eat from it. But they don't seem to gain anything. They seem to lose everything. Pastor Held, have we talked so far about evil as kind of a positive force, that is, a force of its own? To what degree should we learn that evil is the absence of something that is essentially good that God has put in creation?
Well, we look at evil and you know, the impact it has, but you're right. Maybe there's a good insight to be gained here by saying, what have we lost? Especially, I'm going to keep going back to the same theme about faith. You know, when we lost in the garden, when we lost it after the fall, was this trust that God really does know. We can leave the judgment of good and evil up to him. Let him call what is good, good, and if there's anything evil, let him call it evil. And it's when we decide, no, we want to, first of all, for ourselves, you know, think through, what is good and evil for me, as though I have enough wisdom to judge? I'm losing that trust that my Heavenly Father is not going to let evil happen to me. He's going to make my life be blessed through the good that he wants to bring into my life, even when by sight I don't always see it as good, but I'm going to learn to trust that. So when we lose that, yeah, we start skewing an awful lot of things, and we don't think about a lot of things correctly anymore.
Pastor Kaysman, if you open up a philosophy text, if you had an encyclopedia of philosophy, you're going to find an entry there that says evil, comma, problem of, or the problem of evil. How can a good and all-powerful and loving God permit evil to persist in his world? What is the Christian's answer to that alleged problem of evil?
God permits it to be in this world, but the assumption sometimes is God causes it to be in this world. And the evil that we experience, the evil that chips away at our faith, at that trust, is not what God has put here, but what Satan initially, but all of us since then, have brought by turning God's good gift for our own evil purposes, our own sinful purposes.
So is evil always in some sense a perversion of the good that God that is actually found from God alone?
Absolutely.
The idea that evil is sort of the absence of something came from St. Augustine, because he was trying to deal with that very question of the problem of evil, or theodicy in philosophy. And he said, well, we just say that any absence of good is evil, or in whatever level it might be. And so that's how that's it. But I think as Christians, we would say that that we're responsible for our because of our sins. But most importantly, of course, the devil is the origin of evil, as we confess in the Augsburg Confession. It's interesting that Rabbi Kushner, who wrote Why When Bad Things Happen to Good People, said these things all cannot be true. God is almighty. God is love. And Job is a good man, and he wants to chuck out the teaching that God is almighty, and so you have to forgive God for evil. But really, Job is not a good man. That's the one he has to get rid of.
All right, when we come back from this break, 25 more minutes left in our pastor's roundtable. I want to hear from you. We're talking about deliver us from evil, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Or email us right here in the studio on this Thursday, January the 22nd, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Ellen Heiss, Johanna Townsend, Gerald Barrett, Stephen Johnson, Luke Pratt, Jenna, Chris Neerman, Ellen Mullen, Robert Zick, and Carol King. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Doctors in Britain are touting a medical breakthrough, but there's a dark side to their big announcement. They claim the first baby girl's been born who was screened before conception for a genetic form of breast cancer. This isn't true. First conception was achieved by in vitro fertilization. The resultant human embryos were then screened for the faulty gene. Babies who had it were killed. An embryo without the gene was implanted into the mother's womb. It's good news this baby won't be subject to highly hereditary breast cancer, but it's tragic. Human life was intentionally killed to achieve this. And in the process, doctors twisted the truth in an attempt to avoid controversy. They falsely say conception doesn't occur until the tiny days-old human attaches to the womb.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues, etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Cause that's when evil, oh, evil slips on in.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about deliver us from evil. Pastor Gary Held is on the phone with us from Risen Savior Lutheran Church in Palm Bay, Florida. Pastor Bruce Kaseman and Pastor David Boyce Clare are in studio with us. Pastor Kaseman from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, and Pastor David Boyce Clare from Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis. Tomorrow on the program, listener email, Issues Etc., blog of the week, and we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. We were talking during the break, and I'm sorry, Pastor Held, you don't have the benefit of hearing off-mic conversations since you're on the phone, but the question goes to you nonetheless. We were talking about the hidden God, the fact that God hides himself so as to reveal himself, and it makes it very difficult for us Christians to tell the difference between God and the devil, between good and evil. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, again, you know, if you're going to talk about the hidden God, you know, you really have to start with, in my mind, walking by faith and walking by sight. By faith, you are always going back to what the Word says. In other words, even when by sight things are not going well in your life, you think that you're experiencing troubles, you don't know where they're coming from, God is acting like he's absent. You know, I look around the universe and where is God and why is this happening to me? All these things by sight or by my natural mind occur to me. But the Word always keeps telling me what I need for my spirit, which is that in Christ I have been set free. In Christ I have been made God's child. In Christ he is my heavenly Father. In Christ he loves me with an eternal love. And nothing will ever separate us. I mean, by faith in what the Word says, regardless of what I see happening around me, you know, I can come to know this God, even though when I look around the world and examine my life using just natural reason and such, he may seem absent, but he's not. The Word tells me he is always at my side. He never leaves nor forsakes his children.
Christ is the revealed God as opposed to the hidden God.
Absolutely. I mean, in Christ, I see the Father's real love, not only for me, but for all the creation. There would be no way of understanding the depth of his mercy if I did not see it in the actions and in the ministry of the historical Jesus Christ.
Okay, then, what does it look like when God is answering this prayer, Pastor Kaseman? This is a question I've posed to every roundtable. What does it look like that I can actually lay my hands on, see with my eyes, when God says yes to deliver me from evil?
Well, the final way that it looks is exactly like heaven looks, because that's where I'm at whenever he has delivered me from evil. When he is keeping me in faith, he is delivering me from evil. So I'm not going to look at what's happening outwardly and ask, well, now, is God with me based on what happens in my life? And if everything happens good, then or what I perceive to be good, then God must be with me. Instead, I see God in the promises of his holy word holding on to me and holding on and keeping me in faith so that I finally get to that heaven. Because as long as I'm in this world, sight can't perceive this is that my God is with me and that he is delivering me from evil.
The average person, I think many Christians, would think, if they believe in a devil at all, would say, okay, you know, the devil's just a bad actor. He's the ultimate kind of troublemaker, and all he wants to do in my life is take all the good stuff and take it away from me. He wants to replace it with the bad stuff, and he wants to make me miserable. It seems to me a rather simplistic way of looking at the evil one, that all he wants to do is ruin my day. I wonder whether or not when the evil one is really operating on all eight cylinders, I might be having the best day of my life. At least it may feel like the best day of my life.
C.S. Lewis, in his Screwtape Letters, introduced it by saying the devil is a type of a being which wants to consume everything. He doesn't believe in freedom. He doesn't believe in individuality. He wants to consume and dominate everything. And I think what you said is a very good point, that it is deceptive. As we live in the world, when maybe, as some people have said, if things are all going well, I wonder whether God's will is really being done here, because the devil can use good things for his purposes.
And our Lord says, in this world you will have tribulation, to us Christians, and he says, I guess it was Paul that said, through many tribulations you will enter into the kingdom. And so it's not a bad thing to ask if everything's going right in life. Is maybe something wrong? Am I failing to hang on to the promises of God or carry the crosses that have been handed to me?
I wonder how we sort this out, Pastor Held, because I've come to the conclusion, and just tell me pastorally if I'm wrong, that when it comes to the individual incidents or circumstances of my life, whatever they may be, things pertaining to the family or employment or any of those things, the everyday occurrences of my life, I am really not in a position, with the exception of a few things like God's holy word,
okay,
my baptism,
right,
the love that he has given as a gift to me and my family that is really only just the expression of his promises to us.
Okay.
Except for those things, I really can't put my finger on things in my life and say, well, that's evil, that's good for me, that's bad for me. I kind of have to suspend judgment on all of it until everything's said and done, God has wrapped it up for me.
I would totally agree with that because, you know, the belief that we would be better off if we just had the power of knowing good and evil. Just go ahead and eat the fruit of the tree so that you can figure it out on your own. Well, it's never worked out. Not a single time has it worked out that we've really understood good and evil. We are in so much better position when we simply say, you know, God's my father. When do children ask bread of their father and he gives them stones? It just doesn't happen. And if God's my father, then even when the things that are happening to me are not what I would have maybe chosen first, I'm going to keep trusting that his goodness for me is consistent. So I completely agree with that we cannot use our own wisdom to start sorting out or judging for ourselves. This is good and this is evil, based on, you know, what we think the outcome ought to be.
So maybe instead of trying to find God's will for us and what God's purposes are by going back to Genesis and trying to figure out what's going on in Eden, maybe instead of going to the beginning of the Bible, we should go to the end of the Bible and ask the question, where's God taking me in all of this? And at the very end, he who is seated on the throne says, I'm making everything new. I'm taking everything that has been corrupted has been removed. The corruption has been removed and everything is restored back to the way that it was intended to be. And he will wipe away every tear from our eyes and death shall be no more, neither mourning or crying or pain anymore, for those former things have all passed away. There's what God's got in mind for us.
See, I can't picture or imagine, even begin to imagine, existence, life, apart from evil in all of its forms. I can't imagine a time when these things have been removed and done away with.
It strikes me that there are only two people who've ever existed that could understand, three people, Adam, Eve, and Jesus, because they're the only ones who've ever experienced what it is to be sinless. And I'm wondering by the end of their lives if Adam and Eve had any remembrance at all of what life was like before.
Yeah, they barely remembered it, if they remembered it at all, and then it would be through the haze of, you know, the regret that they have. Pastor Boyce Clare, are we really talking here in some sense about the restoration of our full humanity? If Adam and Eve before the fall are fully human, and then after the fall, something less than, if Christ entering into human flesh is now fully human on our behalf, are we talking about deliver us from evil is make us fully human again?
I think that's a very good characterization of that prayer, and I like the Easter exultet, which says, "O happy fault of Adam that brought us so great a Savior," to show that our restoration in Christ is so much greater than anything that Adam and Eve ever could have experienced in the new creation, and that God turns evil to good. Or as, again, using C.S. Lewis, probably in a work of his, which is somewhat questionable, The Great Divorce, where he says that what happens for those who are finally saved is all of what happened before is part of heaven, or is part of something that's good, and that changes it.
And I hope everybody's grasping that what's going on here is everything that we're talking about here that has to do with delivering us from evil hinges on a Jesus on a cross and a Jesus out of the tomb. Without that, we can't be praying, deliver us from evil.
All right, when we come back, that's where we're going to go, to the cross, where there, if you want to look at evil, you want to stare into the face of everything evil can do. You stare into the face of Jesus Christ, lifeless, breathless, beaten and bled out on the cross. This is God. We've killed him. Can there be anything more evil than this? And yet God says, best thing that ever happened. Good Friday, really the best Friday. We'll be right back. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Arthur A. Baird, William Crawford, Paul Edmiston, Charles Weinstock, Michael Vogt, Amelia Elsie, Clayton Kinnett, Robert Park, Waldo Lemer, and Gary Heckman. Thanks for your support.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa, Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Sponsors. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org, IssuesETC.org. Click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, Pastor's Roundtable, Thursday, January the 22nd. Deliver Us from Evil is our subject. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for January. It's in anticipation of the season that is approaching, the Lenten season. Sacred Head Now Wounded from Concordia Publishing House. It's a solid, Christ-centered bundle of materials for preaching, Bible study, worship, all through the 40 days of Lent. Fooey on 40 days of purpose. 40 days of Lent has much more to offer you by way of Christ-centered, cross-focused study and worship. The services of Holy Week, Easter Sunday, of course, Lent always leads toward Easter. To find out more about Sacred Head Now Wounded, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll see the book right there on our homepage. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, Sacred Head Now Wounded. 10 minutes left for your email, your phone calls on Deliver Us From Evil. Talk back at issuesetc.org, 1-800-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. All right, Pastor Kaysman, before we went to the break, you brought us to the foot of the cross, that none of our conversation or the restoration of good, any of those things we've been talking about under the heading Deliver Us From Evil, is even possible, is even comprehensible as a Christian apart from Christ dead on the cross. Why?
Because of what happened back in the garden. Adam and Eve listen to Satan. Adam and Eve fall into sin. Adam and Eve bring evil into this world. And now evil must be dealt with. Evil must be paid for. Evil and the way evil is paid for is for it to be taken in to God himself. God promises back there in Genesis that he is going to send a Savior, that Savior is going to be have his heel struck by Satan, even as he crushes Satan. And that's precisely what's happening then on the cross. And yet, if Christ takes evil into himself, if Christ takes our sin into himself, if Christ dies for us and stays dead, we've got no hope of a resurrection yet to follow. We need a Christ out of the tomb as well as a Christ on the cross.
If somehow a brilliant doctor developed the cure for some terrible plague, let's say dysentery, which is very common in the world today, and he traveled to one of these third world countries with the cure in hand, ready to work his medical skill and heal the entire country of this terrible thing, save lives. And the people, when he got there, put up with him for a couple of months and then rose up and killed him, knowing full well that he had the cure. The world would be outraged. We would say, such people do not deserve the cure. Let them die from this terrible disease. But this is precisely what we did when the author of life shows up, and in the words of the apostle, we kill him. We don't deserve the cure that Christ has brought to us, Pastor Boyce Clare. Why does he still give it to us?
It's his love that while we were still sinners, it's sort of a nevertheless, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it just shows the immensity, the infinity of God's love for us and his tenderness in Christ. And he doesn't want to – it's like sometimes even in our world when you have a family members who really – go bad, and you have mothers and fathers, grandparents, brothers and sisters, children who don't give up on them, but continue to love them. And as Augustine said, hate the sin, but love the sinner. And ultimately, God loves us with an everlasting love, and that's what is behind all of that.
Pastor Held, you've talked a lot in our course of our conversation about walking by faith and not by sight, and Jesus died and rose again 2,000-plus years ago.
Right.
And the world seems only to be getting worse in terms of the way we measure evil, not better. What are the words of hope and comfort for us?
Well, you know, one of the pastors earlier mentioned the verse that it came to my mind, John 16:33, where Jesus says to his disciples, in this world, you will have tribulation. So there's already the acknowledgement that there's going to be trouble, there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be distress in the world. But then he says, he doesn't stop there, he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so, you know, this is, again, to repeat myself, this is the faith move versus going by sight, because on the cross, You don't see an overcomer by sight, by natural reason. You don't see, you know, oh yes, this is the great moment of our victory. This is the sole human life who has overcome the evil in this world. But by faith, that's exactly what you're seeing. You are seeing all the evil, all the heartache, all of the tragic mess that we've created overcome. And then the wonderful Easter celebration is simply to show how that then plays out. You know, what does it look like now to have followed Christ first to the cross and then to the empty tomb? We can kind of follow that through in our own minds. Part of us is going to go to the cross. There's going to be a real dying, but then there's a real rising again. I mean, resurrection life is going to say that, yeah, a lot of things in this world are simply going to die or to be destroyed, but in the end, the power of God to resurrect us in Christ, to give us new life, to redeem us, so that it hasn't been a tragic waste. That's wonderful, good news that we only perceive by faith, but thank God for it.
which is exactly what Luther is talking about whenever we get to the end of the his explanation of the seventh petition. When our last hour comes, he gives us a blessed end and graciously takes us from this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven.
Okay, I've seen some blessed ends. So have you. I imagine all three pastors sitting here, including myself, that would be four, have seen blessed ends that don't look blessed. They look terrible, nasty, messy, terrifying. I mean, not to get too graphic, but dear saints, in their last moments, gasping for breath, and then finally just fading away like the sun going down. No hoopla, no angels sing, and it just looks like death from the outside. Pastor Kaseman, what do you say to someone who says, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen now?
You're correct. It is the worst thing, save one thing, and that would be to have died without faith. And because you have died with faith, it is that your Lord has taken this, which is the worst thing, the last enemy, and he has defeated it, and he uses it to give to you the very best thing that there could possibly be. As Simeon put it, my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. Remember Simeon, who had that promise that he wasn't going to die before he had seen the Messiah. And he takes little Jesus in his hands and he says, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. And he's living by faith, not by sight, because that little baby didn't have any halo on him. There was nothing that said that. That's for sure Jesus right there. But he knew that was his Savior, the one that was going to, as we know, go to the cross and come out of the tomb for him.
Pastor Bruce Kaseman is pastor of Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. Bruce, nice way to end it. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Pastor David Boyce Clare is pastor at Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you for having me. It was a great blessing.
And joining us from Risen Savior Lutheran Church in Palm Bay, Florida, Pastor Gary Held. He also co-hosts a weekly radio program called Radical Grace. Pastor Held, thank you for being our guest.
Oh, what an honor it's been, and just a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
When we come back from this break, it's going to be Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Colleen Carol Campbell is going to be our guest. We're going to talk with her about two issues. Of course, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, 36 sad and tragic years, and 36 years doesn't even begin to cover the body count. And I say that as honestly as I can, the body count after Roe v. Wade. We'll also talk about President Barack Obama and the Freedom of Choice Act. By the way, I mentioned Pastor Gary Held's weekly radio program that he co-hosts, Radical Grace. You can find a link to Radical Grace under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Then a little bit later in hour two, Pastor Paul McCain will join us. We'll begin a two-part daily series with him on the Lord's Supper. He comes from Concordia Publishing House. We pray, deliver us from evil. Jesus, of course, came for an entirely different purpose. He was not here to avoid or be delivered from evil, but to confront evil and to, in the end, even the evil of death itself, swallow it all up. He had come not to be delivered from evil, but, as he said, to be delivered in the hands of sinful men, to be delivered over to suffering, to be delivered over to death and the grave, and ultimately to be delivered, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, to be delivered from death itself because he is the sinless sacrifice for our sins. Now, all that into which he was delivered, we are delivered from. Now, all that he delivers to us, his death, his resurrection, deliverance from evil, in the end, his own life, his own righteousness. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues, Etc. right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.